Well, actually, before we start, dear listeners, another quick break. We come back and obviously setting the scene for the particular discussion for today, which is the home run. And you're here on your Monday session. We'll be back after this.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
So, doing a proper introduction right there, and obviously welcoming you to the Monday session of The Home Run. For today's particular session, I am solo for this coming week specifically. Helmut also, you know, needs to recharge his batteries. I'm only sticking to that. Any other particular recharging that he wishes to, you know, explore on, that's up to him. Hopefully we'll see him back on Monday next week specifically, where we'll be obviously back to the full complement that The Home Run always has the privilege of being, and primarily where we'll be continuing with giving you this, the particular insight, the discussions, the understanding, and also the dissections that we use, the dissecting exercise that we love doing here specifically on your number one talk radio station here, that being Eagle FM. So we start the new year. Obviously we're done with sort of like the you know, the bad news bear sessions of Tuesday, of last week, Thursday and Friday. And we're obviously also looking into a particularly interesting discussion that has promise to expand a particular export, element of Namibia. Just for those of you listeners that have seen the social media poster for today's home run session, there's a little bit of a typographical in there, just to let you know. For those of you who are of an economic nature, that would have obviously seen the word first time. Primarily, you know, just ignore that particular part, because the fact of the matter is Namibia does already actually export electricity. However, the discussion we're focusing on has also to do with something that opens up and expands primarily the avenue for Namibia to become a slight, or to slightly enhance and slightly expand its particular position in terms of electricity supply. Now, what is important to establish here is that at the back end of last year, that being of in specifically in end of November, start of December, there was an interesting presentation that popped up specifically, that being the presentation whereby it's the Electricity Control Board hosting an application, but more like a stakeholder engagement, public stakeholder engagement, which was by no means set as final, because the parties who obviously did their presentations, who asked their questions, had the opportunity of establishing the necessary sort of like, if we can call it the protocol, in terms of how things are going to be conducted, because since the invitation to us, the media said public stakeholder engagement or public presentation, I obviously thought as a media representative, you know, okay, maybe I would have the opportunity of asking a question. Well, it seemed like at this particular session, so I'm just giving you a recount of the scenario, or, you know, some of the particular, details that happened, is that there was a panel that consisted of various particular stakeholders. And, the first presentation that was done was by NamPower's Mr. Gordon Gatney. And the introduction was done by the ECB's Mutota, who obviously helped to sort of like lay the ground or the foundation for what this public presentation was all about. Now, we highlighted this particular talking point as a key indicator, specifically if you are in the realm out there, for those of you who wish to tap into this particular dimension of renewable energy. And we've also got a representative from the National Assembly, that being the Deputy Speaker, who was yesterday or the day before, was at the IRENA, which is the International Renewable Energy something cluster of nations. Namibia is part of IRENA, just to let you know, which is the International Renewable Energy Agency for that particular designation. Another particular facet of the talking point regarding this is so our Minister of Mines and Industries, Mines and Energy is also at this particular IRENA assembly, which is currently taking place in Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates, which obviously has a particular setting whereby we in Namibia, we've got this abundant resource of renewable energy, and there's already said particular projects in play that are obviously going to tap into solar energy generation. Now, Namibia, as stated with the particular sort of like fact checking and verification and correction at the start of the show today, which I highlighted primarily that we do have or that we are already exporting electricity. The important thing to state from that has been the particular update, because we can call this an update, a PEG, that is aimed primarily at strengthening or enhancing or actually amplifying this particular position, this position of being able to also export into the SADC power pool. Now, to sort of like help, to jog our memory, I've got the two particular, audios that feeds into or actually gives insight into the particular presentations that went down on the day. For just interest sake, we'll be listening firstly to the Electricity Control Board's Mutota, who will explain that particular part for why that presentation happened. The second point will be by Mr. Gordon Gadney from NamPower, who'll answer the first part, or sort of like lay down the foundations in terms of the first part of his audio, because his presentation was pretty long. Well, not long-ish, it was a good 20 minutes, which is decent. But the indication obviously from that is that we can't play the entire 20 minutes here, specifically. So to help us understand the particular two talking points, we set off or we spring from that particular development. Even though the rest of the world probably might lapse into a global conflict. However, we've got to look at this particular discussion going ahead, because it builds off the back of last week's talking points, which I've also got lined up in today's particular sessions, primarily that the AFCFTA seems to shout ever louder at us, primarily in terms of how Namibia needs to position itself. So, to lay the first sort of like groundwork in terms of our discussion for today, we listen to Mr. Mutota from the ECB, who will explain the aspects in terms of why we're going to, or why the idea is, or the proposal has been set forward by NamPower to actually sell more electricity. And this is electricity generated by the independent power producers into the rest of the SADC power pool. We'll be back right after this short audio.
In respect of NamPower's proposal to act as an aggregator of electricity, specifically concerning the Daniel Mabilini Power Project. As indicated, my name is Phineas Mutota. I'm the Executive for Economic and Market Regulations at the ECB, and I'll be chairing this panel, consisting of my colleague, Tamalin Moroko, Johannes Pietres, no, Pietres Johannes, sorry, we refer to him as GP, so Ishmael Chingenge, and Mr. Yohanna. Those are your panel members for today. And of course, we are joined by our secretary, Catherine Amakani, And we are also joined by several ECB colleagues, management and staff members who are here today to observe these proceedings. Just a bit of background on this proposal and why we are here today. This process started as way back as last year on 13 September 2024, where NamPower submitted a proposal to the ECB to establish an aggregator function to facilitate the export of electricity from Namibia to regional markets, primarily through the Southern Africa Power Pool. The electricity to be aggregated would originate specifically for this from the Nathaniel Mapilene Power Project. And under this arrangement, NamPower would play an intermediary role by using its higher transmission capacity priority to schedule energy transaction up to the Namibian border in exchange for an aggregation fee, have dispatch control over Nathaniel Mapilene Power Project through an aggregation service agreement, and provide a dedicated wheeling path with the board. The Electricity Control Board reviewed the proposal and held clarification meeting with NamPower. However, due to public interest and the potential impact of the proposal on various stakeholders, including domestic customers, independent power producers, exporters, regional traders, and the regulatory framework necessitated a public hearing in order for NamPower and Nathaniel Mapilene project to present their proposal and accord stakeholders to present their views, concerns, and suggestions on the proposed aggregation role. The orders of proceedings for today, besides that this is an open public hearing, which is a hybrid. We have you stakeholders who are with us here in this room. We also have stakeholders that are logged on and attending virtually. This public hearing is conducted in accordance with the ECB public hearing rules, whereby we will commence with NamPower, who we refer to as the proponent, will make their presentation and call up their presenters, if there is more than one. NamPower will then be followed by the Nathaniel Mapilene Power Plant, who will also make their presentation and call up their presenters if they are more than one. We have allocated 40 minutes to each presenter. So NamPower is 40 minutes. And,
now, obviously, as you heard there, the idea is primarily for NamPower to play this position of acting as an aggregator. Obviously, terminology is a decisive factor primarily because you've got to use what is there. Yes, the logic obviously exists that if it's an independent power producer, that they don't spend too much money on trying to build their own, you know, power lines, substations, you know, put in the whole particular effort, because then technically, you know, questions would be asked and it would just look a little bit weird for that matter. And the weird part is primarily still something that is based upon a subject matter of, okay, so we have the IBPs and they would like to sell, or would like Namibia to sell their particular product, which is obviously this electricity current, into the rest of the SADC power pool. And the discussion from that would be, okay, so how much would that mean, or how much would that be, and what would the particular important subject matter be about this specific discussion. Now, the subject matter in hand has been a discussion that I was not surprised, but you know, the first reaction that I obviously had back in March of last year was a reaction of being surprised. Specifically when the presentation was done by the economics department of NamPower, it was another public stakeholder engagement. It was held at the Commerce Regional Offices hall, the hall that they've got there. And the presentation was one based upon motivating firstly, the price increase that NamPower had put forward to the ECB for the next foreseeable future, which would have been 2025, heading into the rest of the foreseeable future, which would include this year and possibly also next year, 2027. At that particular scenario, it was above 10%. The motivation being the particular price increase that NamPower wanted to have. And just giving you these background details to understand how this idea for the independent power producers popping up and requesting to sell through NamPower specifically into the SADC power pool. And then another interesting discussion that popped up in the same presentation was obviously that NamPower has to make this proposal, or has to submit this proposal to the ECB, because the ECB represents sort of like almost like a consumer, what do you call it? Almost like being a consumer protection element in their own in their own particular capacity regarding affordability and regarding whether or not the price increase would be too high or too low or too dramatic and all those other particular details and factors that would be weighed upon. You also then get to the scenario of the point that the two representatives from NamPower made, being not in the same particular back end of not this at the same public stakeholder engagement that happened literally at the end of last year in November, or no, in December, sorry, but literally still in the March timeframe. So the first time we heard of the independent power producers highlighting that they have, that they're setting their sights on a different market scenario, whereas, limiting themselves to, or restricting themselves to a Namibian market scenario, was that in that same presentation that came about, was the representatives from NamPower highlighted they want to sell, or they are being requested, not NamPower. NamPower is being requested to sell from what the IPPs produce to the SADC power pool. Why to the SADC power pool? Because there's a US dollar price tag that is negotiated there. Whereas if you had to sell in Namibia, it would be at a way discounted foreign exchange rate, or let me rather say at a local currency rate, which would have been way less than the US dollar rate that is being negotiated between the SADC power pool members. And the SADC power pool members, obviously, as you do know, includes Namibia, includes South Africa, includes Botswana, Zambia, Zimbabwe, Mozambique. You can throw in Lesotho and Eswatini in there. And yes, you do see this larger community of countries. If you're going to ask about Angola, according to SACRI, SACRI is another particular Southern African or SADC-related agency that looks specifically at renewable energy and other particular scenarios, or energy generation and all those other particular scenarios, is that SACRI, in a presentation that they gave in 2024, highlighted that Angola produces so much electricity, but it is literally cut off from the rest of SADC, meaning they are trying to formulate one or other way of connecting the rest of SADC to Angola, because Angola sits and produces all this particular power. And so Angola is also highly interested of supplying into the SADC power pool. because you obviously see that, you know, all this energy generation that's going about would obviously help so many other particular member states in the SADC arena and in the SADC neighborhood to achieve their various particular, you know, economic goals in their own respective rights. And at the heart of this, obviously, you need some form of affordable electricity that is accessible by all the members. Now, here's what makes things interesting. If you go and look on the internet, and this makes things very difficult. If you go and search on the internet, and I, you know, the reason as to why I highlighted sort of like the fact-checking error, specifically in the poster for today's session of the Home Run, is primarily when you try and look at the most exported products, obviously, in the Namibian aspect, is that electricity is not always included in the various reports. The various, you know, quarterly reports that come through from the NSA, you know, these would include, and these are the trade reports specifically. So these would include things that help you look at who are the major importing nations that Namibia deals with and who are the major exporting nations that Namibia deals with. So who Namibia buys the most from and who Namibia sells the most to. And there you will find, once again, the biggest concern that I always have specifically is that the picture is not always clear. The picture is somewhat there or gives you a somewhat estimation, well, an estimation of something. Okay. The details in terms of the quantities pertaining to each nation that is cited and a destination that is identified is clear cut. It's very clear. But when you try to have a holistic, a complete picture, the single most important thing that is not always attributed to or singled out or measured in is electricity or energy, whichever one you wish to choose from. So first and foremost, then we've got this weird anomaly of you have a commodity that is export ready and import ready, whichever way you look at it. But it's not ultimately, associated or affiliated to the actual trade statistics that the Namibia Statistics Agency presents to us, the media. And primarily it creates a little bit of a confusing picture. And I call it a confusing picture because the picture highlights partiality. There's a partial thing that's hanging loose somewhere, not part of the overall discussion. Then you get the other components. For example, the bona fide, clear cut, raw materials or semi-processed materials or finished goods that get imported. All those other particular things are accounted for. Now, it makes the picture a bit weird because you then sit and ask yourself, so if we have this particular commodity known as electricity or as energy, why is it not fully positioned there? Don't worry, I'll ask that question to the NSA guys. It's an important particular thing that I also tried looking up very clearly in preparation for today's program. Because the idea was to try and understand, okay, so how does it factor into, or how does it position itself? So far, I could only tap into the 2024, income that Namibia generated from selling electricity or exporting electricity, which was at a good, is it 180 million Namibian dollars worth, for 2024, So 180 million worth, because I times it by 2 or by 20. Obviously, you know, 9.7 million US dollars, times 20 probably will give you 180, 190, almost 200 million. You sit then with that particular indication, which it looks healthy. Anything above $1 million Namibian dollars in terms of revenue into the country for this particular resource in many particular scenarios probably would highlight that, you know, the independent power producers would be tapping into renewable energy for that matter, because we are obviously being, you know, we are obviously being shown all the particular benefits of year-round sunlight, overexposure to ultraviolet light, the effects, the benefits. The other industry leaders, meaning other nations that lead in being renewable energy leaders, for example, like Albania, that, you know, is always a wonderful particular example to know, even though their renewable energy resource is technically hydroelectric energy or hydroelectric power. And it's just particular bonuses or benefits or positives that you see. Not that I'm also citing, you know, bonuses in a financial scenario specifically. And, you know, that would be the second scenario. The first point that you obviously want to achieve is that, are you able to ship it? Meaning, are you able to export it? And are you able, and is it able to be claimed or received or delivered to the customer base that you wish to send it? Because some of the most important things that helps us to understand specifically how the world around us is being built, and this is also as the bigger arguments and the bigger particular or the larger particular points are being made now internationally about how AI will play a role, the infrastructure that will be that is being constructed and being put it together or being installed around this new computer power or computer processing ability and so forth, and the access to water and electricity that these new infrastructure pieces would need. All of this sounds good, sounds wonderful, but then you've got major questions to ask with regards to, okay, so what about it? How does this happen? Is the electricity there to be spared for said particular details? And surely these are things that won't be announced anytime, you know, sort of like in the public scenario. You'll just hear someone building something or someone investing in something or someone just erecting and installing something with regards to one other particular, you know, energy generation component. Now, I bring you back to the particular scenario which actually we started our discussion off from, being this aggregation role, this ability for NamPower then to also be able to technically collect and sell what is being produced by the IPPs. The important thing from this has been that it can, firstly, highlight that Namibia has a extra or an additional or can actually amend the kind of export quality product or product specifically or component or service or whatever you wish to call it. Because, I mean, it's when you think about electricity specifically and the means to export electricity and the means to ship electricity to a customer or a client, the first thing that you've got to ask yourself is how to deliver and obviously how to get hold of the particular element. And that obviously includes the infrastructure. Now, as you would have heard from Mr. Mutota's particular sort of like introduction, just for us to have an understanding of, was that obviously this public presentation or this public presentation was all about how to bring awareness that there's this particular proposal on the ground and it aims to do this particular function in order to achieve this other particular function. The other particular function, obviously, being able to make money in a US dollar component, in a US dollar currency denomination. So, the biggest producers, obviously, in the SADC power pool is South Africa, Zimbabwe, Zambia, and Mozambique. Because Mozambique in 2023, hydroelectric power production plant received one other particular sort of like, it's like the PMR awards here in Namibia. But they received some sort of other particular awards back then in 2023 or 2022 for one other particular, you know, unique role that that state-owned entity played in, you know, producing as, and thus also becoming a significant economic function or function or functionary in the Mozambican economy. And it's a hydroelectric dam. Just to let you know, it's a hydroelectric power generating unit at a dam. So obviously it helps to improve whatever's happening there in Mozambique in their own scenario. Now, you would then obviously be asking the question, okay, so if so many particular SADC, partners and SADC member states are in this SADC power pool producing electricity and, you know, it has this weird, sort of like aspect to how do these nations, you know, buy and sell from each other. Here's the thing that you need to understand, dear listeners. You will forever and always need more power. Why I say you will need more power is that you will obviously require it around the clock. For your various industrial purposes and bases and operations, you will need it for your particular medical centers across your country, because here's the important thing. There are certain functions that actually helps the medical facilities to, you know, play their significant role in saving lives. It obviously will also help specifically with refrigeration and other particular industrial applications like machinery and computing that needs to run throughout all the time, throughout the night, you know, 24/7, 365. And what would you need to ensure that all those functions need to be alive, need to be online? I almost said alive, need to be online and need to be functional and need to be properly, you know, working. You need a stable electrical supply or electricity supply, not electrical, electricity supply. But before we continue, dear listeners, we're really going to take a short break. We're going to come back right after this. And just to let you know, callers' contributions are allowed here on today's session, actually through this entire week that I'm solo specifically. So as you do know, I'm a little bit liberal. You can call through at 083-288-401. Let's hear your say. Let's hear what you wish to add in the new year, even though the new year is technically now almost 3 weeks old. But come through at 083-288-401. This is the Home Run here on this lovely Monday session. We'll see each other right after the break.
Want to take a trip through history's major events or explore interesting geographical features and even some interesting scientific developments? Well, join us on My Sunday Morning Take every Sunday morning from 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. where we look into everything history, everything geography, a little bit of science, and everything else to help you understand what is happening in the world. You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? Any person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
So we come back to you, listeners, and in terms of setting the particular scene. Well, here's the interesting thing. Obviously, we need to understand, you know, what else would be there for the rest of the nation. What else would be there is also an interesting particular thing, because immediately in that same week of WhatsApp, of the public presentation that happened in here in Windhoek specifically, but the public presentation between of the ECB and of, you know, the ECB giving the platform to NamPower to make this particular case regarding becoming an aggregate for a specific, you know, purpose. You have to ask yourself the particular position of, okay, so, are the local authorities, the, you know, the particular, regulators, you know, do they have adequate supply? Are things okay for them potentially to know that independent power producers would be selling this into the power pool, and potentially that, you know, this would be energy or electricity or product that will be circulating sort of like in a massive pool of everyone contributing to it with their own contributions in terms of the product. And then Namibia just, you know, pulling what they need for their own particular domestic uses out of that same pool, which Namibia contributed into from one angle, and from another angle, pulling out for what they need for their own particular purposes. And, you know, working from this distribution, this contribution, this allocation for Namibia, you know, would this be an okay picture to work with? It's a question that you can answer yourself, because the producer can always say, hey, listen, I want to sell it over there. I want that price. I want that price. Because the producer will highlight there's an opportunity to make money. There's an opportunity to achieve something profitable. And said particular profitability component would be, I want to sell there. I don't care here about Namibia. I want to sell there. Now, if you look at yourself in a micro scenario, let's, for example, say you have the opportunity of having a couple of hundred thousand on you. I'm obviously speaking now in terms of a scenario just to highlight, you know, because not everyone has a couple of hundred thousand lying around. You have a couple of hundred thousand lying on you and you decide, you know what, I'm going to go build myself a place and I'm going to make this place or convert this place, or I've got this property, I'm going to convert this property into a off-the-grid property. Meaning, all your lights, all your particular electrical needs would come from the, you know, the photovoltaic or the solar panels that you've installed on the roof of your property. Or you'll build a property and you'll install these photovoltaic panels or these solar panels, and you'll be completely off the grid. Now, the first thing in a Namibian discussion, to the reason, the motivation to do something like that in a Namibian discussion would be that you, firstly, you don't want to pay money to your local authority for said particular electrical generation. You know, you would see it as primarily, you know what, I don't want to pay my local authority electricity because the electricity is right there, that the consumer technology is right there. Now, this is obviously consumer technology that can be applied at an industrial level to generate the necessary, you know, discussion, that the necessary quantities that would be needed for the discussion that we had just before the ad break based upon, you know, how much would be able to be supplied into this larger market known as the SADC power pool. The second component of this is obviously at the heart of the solar panel, PV or photovoltaic technology, is the battery storage facilities. And the battery storage facilities has always been a discussion based upon, you know, what have been the latest developments. And the latest developments obviously has been that, firstly, Africa back in last year, if you guys remember the discussion that I had with the representatives from Rayon, which is the Renewable Energy Industry Association of Namibia, because they also asked questions at the same particular public engagement where this presentation by the ECB and NamPower took place, had been a discussion of, you know, why did Africa buy so much from China in terms of the solar solar power technology? Wonderful question. Excellent position to work from, because there'd be only one good thing to identify. First and foremost, probably new developments happened. Secondly, the price is always right. I watched a presentation. Okay, let me first get the scholar's contribution through. Eagle FM, good afternoon.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, I was thinking, yeah, maybe the
dog is dead. I wonder, why are you saying you're shocked, you're wonderful? Huh?
You know what, see? You know what, I was just excited. Ah, let me not say, this is a new program for the new year.
Yeah, yeah.
So, now if you relate this conversation, this discussion, so let me call it a presentation, actually. Because they think it's only there where you have to maybe non-power conversion for them, that they have the electricity, or they have all these things. So, you know, let's relate it to what you were discussing also on Saturday.
Sunday, Angabona. I wasn't here on Saturday.
It was Sunday.
Yeah, it was yesterday.
It was Sunday.
Yeah.
When I was just getting into it. So now, if you only relate that, those the elements that you discussed, you presented on Saturday, on Sunday, we were actually talking about our research and development and coming up with new products, innovating them, and converting those ones, just like when you are saying, so there is money there. That's what Manpower is saying. That's what they do. Even the consumer might not see it, but they have the need. They know that we need electricity in our village. So we need to do some ice, you know, we need to do things like that. A lot of things. Today, before you came in, there was a program out at Kamine, how to sustainably supply and grow omafuma. What is omafuma in English?
Actually? What is omafuma, Angukwana?
Omafuma.
A frog.
You know, when they rain, it's frogs.
Yeah, so it's frogs.
Yeah, frogs. Yeah, frogs. So now, when these are projects that can also be funded. When they know, you know, if you, for example, now independent power producer, and then there was a time also in the independent producer, they can also go in. I'm not so sure whether even maybe there are very strict kind of preconditions there. I'm not so sure. But all I know is that who the Minister of Mines and Energy now, who has been in the constituency level in this community development things, they should be aware of those things. But now this independent power producer, and we are also talking about solar installation plants or whatever. And also, and I know if you do that, if they do that, those who were talking, we were referring to Sunday, that the graduate, we are also referring to them today when these projects are coming. And these are emerging projects where you can now see that there is a need there. When you have done your market research, which is not a really a complex thing. So, I don't know. Now, you are actually giving us this kind of thing. And people are not, perhaps, I heard that, yes, they are listening. When you are listening, and they are not implementing, we want to know now that, yes, this project that was told, I mean, the presentation that was made here, there was even a time when you called that concept, that I always forget. This, you said it is a community, I don't know whether it's community-based something, where you can have in your club, you can have some animals which are not perhaps sick, and then you select those ones. And then, you know, because we have a lot of animals also here in the villages, in the rural areas. I mean, in this region, this is what the cod fence or whatever, this is this side of the red line. So now, we were talking, I think, about power and all these other things. But now, how do we then decentralize those things? Because I know the government, can subsidize your activities in that regard.
Angabona, I think the decentralization is already happening, because if we have independent power producers that can now produce renewable energy, most of them are renewable. This obviously sets the scene for, you know, understanding that there technically is some element of liberalization to the energy production market. Meaning, if you have a couple of, you know, let's just say a hectare there to spare, wherever you are there in the village, and you can put up multiple, you know, multiple solar panels and have a storage facility, meaning a battery facility or something like that, that stores the electricity, and you do the necessary to work with NamPower to connect to their grid to be able to also, let's say, supply there in the community where there are many households around you that potentially don't have electricity. I mean, that would be a wonderful idea. You know, it shouldn't be more than 1,000 square meters in terms of the size, but probably that you would need the space, and you would just need the necessary facility, and then you work from there. The big concern from this has been, Angabona, it's usually a question of who takes the responsibility to supply to let's call it the needy households. Let's, for example, say, does it now need that mean that the closest local authority to you has to then, the power firstly has to go through the infrastructure that NamPower owns, and then somewhere it has to be then redirected back to the community that lives around you. Because the moment now, if everyone plugs in directly to what you're producing, Angabona, that means they're going off the grid.
Yeah, they're
going off the grid. But the best thing that I also see is that you can go off the grid.
Yes, you can go off.
Yeah, you can go off the grid.
You can definitely go off, and there are many entry points that you can really go off.
Yeah.
So, and those are the now emerging kind of opportunities. In fact, the decentralization that I'm talking about is to also decentralize this kind of opportunity. Even though you have mentioned about those structures that are there, that people can benefit. And then if, for example, if that is actually an issue that prevents people to get in there, like you are saying, then maybe that is where it needs to be looked at.
Mm.
But as far as I know, when you look at the rural electrification and the poles and all these other things that you are talking about, so now that means those who do want, in fact, I don't know, maybe that word might not be appropriate. I want to mention that those who have to, they must go in there.
Yeah.
Because they are also to reduce kind of employment.
Yeah.
So if that is the case, because if you cluster some villages, then if those who have got a grid nearby or whatever, I don't know how they maneuver those kind of ways to ensure that, yes, we can then use the solar panel.
Yeah.
You then produce them or whatever. So if you do that, then that means you might be given a license. Those who have studied solar panel, I know some of these VT guys, they have already, this project already piloted some years back. And then, so you can then be licensed by the energy ministry, and then you now get accorded certificate or whatever from
NamPower. Exactly, Angabona. But in terms of literally going off the grid, I also believe, Angabona, it's usually a question of the infrastructure that gets used. Let's play with the idea that there's one VTC graduate that is an electrical, you know, he's an electrician, trained as an electrician. Yeah. And then decides, you know what, I will put the solar panels on my parents' homestead, and then lays literally all the infrastructure to the connecting households. Let's say his homestead is like 300 meters away, the neighbors is like a couple of hundred meters, and connects everyone in that scenario.
Yes.
Technically, in that sense, firstly, the land is communal. The second,
well, it's communal.
Yeah, the second component, the second fact about that would be that on communal land, you can clearly see that there is a lot of community-based projects and interactions. So things like agriculture. So this means that even electricity generation and sharing should not be a problem.
Not at all.
It shouldn't be a problem.
Not at all. And then now this is, and at least because you are going to get in there, and this is the role of the government. You now go to the government and say, here I am. You tell us that this is Triple P that you are talking about.
Yeah.
Can't it be also a vehicle to cramp up there?
It can
use
be.
Use it,
it
and
can
make sure
be.
That you use it and the government has to comply with their obligation on through that vehicle. So, and then if you now want some kind of, I'm talking about in terms of funding, the viability of the thing like you are explaining. So, what is it that we guys are really doing? Well, are we taking up the Katutura Mana that they are here?
Okay, Angabon, I'll have to let you go, but just to answer that question of yours, just in one line, I think it's a question of, do we have to look at the government to be present in the decision or in the idea that you have? Because Angabona, here's a lovely thing. You can sit with a very good idea. There could be some sort of a hidden, you know, those hidden laws and hidden regulations that I sometimes go and dig up just to make sure we need to understand the whole thing. And then in some cases, if you're in a communal, if you're in a communal land setting, I mean, the sky's the limit, Angabona. Do you know how much freedom people have in communal land, in communal settings versus us that live as, like, versus us that live in towns?
Oh my God, man. So please, in conclusion, so those whom were referring to the graduate, unemployed graduates, all those ones.
Yeah.
You just mentioned about VTC technician. I always tell my son because he's an electrical engineer.
There you go.
I told him that, listen, can you also look at a solar panel? When you go to South Africa and do this kind of model, solar panels, she saw that even when you want to leave your company or whatever way you are working.
Yeah.
And sometimes he doesn't get time. So now see they can do, there are a lot of them who are there and they have accounting managers who have studied accounting, those personnel, they are there, human resource. You are there, guys, to give them the lectures, the important ones like you are doing. So what is exactly? Because very soon, they start demonstrating already. Very soon. Demonstration is good. But then, get your business or funding proposal, like told by Kanzeo Kampanyoka here. Bring all your proposals, those who want to get money, whether it's unlisted company and all this other thing, bring your proposal. We came after 4 months, I don't know how many months, just a long period.
Yeah.
Nobody submitted. Can just say, I have got my best people, my friend, who can help you to do this business proposal and things like that. I know it's very expensive, but if you combine yourself, will it be expensive? Not at all. So, please, let's not adapt to the Katutura Mana, because I grew up there. Me, I also grew up there.
Angabona, you must leave Katutura alone. It did nothing. It's just there by itself. But I understand.
Yeah. When we came in here, there was a dust in our room.
Exactly. But on that note.
And then now people have given us a tree's land, the help to occupy and things like that.
Yeah.
We are still complaining. But I'm talking about these artisans who are there. And they are the ones who are being looped. When you go to Development Bank of Namibia now, even tomorrow, you say, can I have some folks that want this business? This is, are you an artisan? The artisan, they have got their own requirement because they are picked up immediately. So those who are from university or institution of higher learning, and tertiary education, they should now go do and go and look for those guys who are in the, maybe they get a database from VTC and say, this graduate who have graduated this time around, you know, this is, they might be those who are not employed. And then I think massive kind of improvement in the benefit.
The first thing is, Angabona, that I'm always concerned about. You can have a wonderful idea. Just like in my case, you can have a wonderful idea. You can sit with 10 business ideas, but you immediately ask yourself the question, who's going to buy it?
Okay.
Yeah. But on that note, Angabona, I have to let you go because...
Oh, no, son, you can buy it. You must have identified the people who are buying it.
Yes. So
the people they will be in the community where we talked about, where there's no electricity and things like that.
Yeah.
You think they will not buy it?
No, they will. I'm not talking about the electricity. I'm not talking about the electricity. Yeah. It's like various other business ideas.
Yeah, like frogs, now that we are told. In my fridge here, it's full of frogs.
Mm.
And now the season for the frog is about to go.
Mm.
And we have to do it as through this aquaculture, and you now incorporate all the components, soil, and you have crop production. What is it? The people no longer need those things, or what?
It's a handful of things, but yeah.
Imagine a frog now, if I have to sell a frog to anywhere, or it's about one, it's 200.
Mm.
And then you populate them into those restaurants and hotels.
Mm.
Thank you very much. Sorry for taking too long.
Not a problem, Angabona. Thanks for coming through.
Cool.
Now, just getting back to some of the talking points that obviously originated from there. Here's one of the biggest facts that you have to understand when it comes to the electricity discussion. There's either going to be two particular roles that obviously takes place. Firstly, the state will always have their own means. I'm not talking about the United States. The United States, they have a different way of doing things, because when Harry Truman decided to sell all the state-owned entities, or most of the state-owned entities in the 50s, to try and generate cash flow for the government of the United States, it obviously was a whole base, you know, a whole sort of like, okay, you can't call it a grocery list, and I almost said litany, but it was a whole massive list of state-owned enterprises that the United States had to sell to the private sector. So this is companies, pieces of infrastructure, national infrastructure projects, so on and so forth. But we are based in Namibia, slightly smaller landmass. We also find ourselves in SADC, a community of countries that have a developmental mindset, a similar developmental mindset around them. And the biggest thing is that we all face is primarily how to couple economic opportunities with some of the particular constraints, issues, limitations, or negative developments that are happening in the country. One of the biggest negative developments, obviously, that Namibia faces is how do we generate employment for those that do not have employment. And we have to combine the resources that we need to facilitate for this particular function being need. Now, here is the most interesting thing to know. When it comes to the electricity segment, or power generation segment, as they would love to call it, in many cases, what identifies the sector is that there is money. Not money in the sense that money that you can go and make, but rather money in the sense that you must already have the money to be able to buy the necessary technology and infrastructure for you to participate in said particular activity. Now, when I say participate, I mean in the sense, for example, this could even be for you yourself and your own household, you going off the grid. Now, this is always not a sector that is sort of like a sector to go or say, you know what? It's at the forefront of electricity. You know, we need more electricity, or we need to do this to make money in this particular sector. That it's not at the forefront of anything in a developmental sense, because that would be the role of the state. And that would be the role primarily of what the power utilities or the utilities associated to this particular service would be doing. Now, before I answered the phone call, there was a particular sort of like interesting thing I wanted to share with you guys regarding that happened in the same week as the NamPower ECB public stakeholder engagement, where the ECB once again had another stakeholder engagement, this time with its CEO, that being with Mr. Robert Kayemise, who helped to explain some of the particular developments, obviously, for the oncoming year with regards to, energy or electricity in the various regions across the country. Local authorities that have an issue of properly paying for their own dues, or for even just applying proper accounting principles and the likes. And some of these, and this particular update was based upon the last board meeting by the ECB and various particular subject matter and topics that emanated, meaning decisions that were made that emanated from that engagement. Now, I want to highlight a important element from that particular talking point, being that if you've got a look at what happens in the realm of where the state plays a role in the production of a commodity, ne? The question you've always got to ask is, okay, how do you view this commodity? Is this commodity something that is strategic, which is a yes automatically with electricity? Is it a particular product that has, the ability to allow private investment to participate in it and also to sell said particular product, into a market setting? What would this market look like? Where would this market be? Who would be the clients to absorb this particular product be? What would they look like? And how often can it be supplied? So much of these particular details are key particular indicators in the scenario of what do you actually want to see happen when you are someone that wants to step in, produce electricity, and sell it into a larger market setting. Now, first and foremost, that particular point stems from a discussion of, are you able to, direct this market setting to your consumer base, meaning who are the consumers that you've got locally, versus the potential clients and customers that might be there on another particular scale. What would they need this for? Obviously, it's electricity to switch on your lights and to switch on your fridge and to keep other particular functions in your economy running. Versus, if you're going to produce this, can't you put it into a massive market setting that then literally absorbs it automatically? I set these two particular pictures like this, primarily because the discussion that we had just now from the caller's contribution brought out or brings out one key function. Now, remember when I said a little bit earlier that there obviously it was in the same week back in last year, the board resolutions that came from the ECB engagement with the ECB's CEO. About various particular decisions that were made. And in some of those, and in that particular media briefing that we had, it was unveiled also that there are problematic payers, meaning that some of the local authorities have an issue, paying their accounts. And it sets the particular scene of asking a pivotal question. Okay, so what happens if, and the picture that was given was that most of these local authorities seem to come from the two southern regions, Hartab and Karas. And now you ask yourself the question, because I stood there in that press engagement. So what happens if all these local authorities decide to go and put up massive, solar panels and literally go off grid as well? Even though the infrastructure obviously would be manpowers and still. But, you obviously play with these situations. You obviously always play with these situations of, what would be this scenario or what would the scenario look like? The key thing from this has been, sure, The ECB NamPower has direct clients. Those direct clients are firstly within the country, within the borders of Namibia. If you're in a communal land setting, I see so much benefit for you guys out there, for those communities that don't have electricity there, or for people who come from communities where there is no access to electricity, or very few access, or very little access to electricity. I see so much benefits that can be generated for those communities, to help those communities thrive, to help those communities grow. Communities, for example, like Okombaye that I've visited before. Okombaye that is literally split by one of Namibia's largest rivers. It's a river that only flows, you know, when there's rainfall. And it's a setting ultimately that sees, you know, various community members in that small settlement. Because it is a small settlement. It's technically a village. It's technically a village because it's got a police station and there's one or two other small government buildings, and they've obviously got their schools. But the only thing that obviously would make that small village or complete it to an extent is obviously if they have a local authority positioned within there with their own local authority situation. But some of the other dimension obviously is about its zoning feature or its zoning component, which makes it also a little bit more tricky for you to understand what I just explained, in the sense of how fully functional as a local authority can it be recognized or not. So bringing you back, small settlements like that, which I just referenced, would greatly benefit from, first and foremost, going off grid, meaning they pool together as a collective, the community members, or wherever you might find yourself across the country, you pool together, you collect money, you hire a project manager or someone in an engineering and construction element and a welding component to literally put up these solar panels for you, install the battery facility, and then literally invest in connecting the necessary cabling to all households that need electricity. It would be a game changer. It would really be a game changer. However, there's always a however. There's always a but. There's always, you know, a pause. The question, obviously, is always how much would this cost? And the question obviously would be, who bears the risk of said cost? I remember back to the article that my colleague Anakleta wrote 2 years back in 2023 or 2024 in The Villager, obviously, about the rural electrification project or rural electrification scheme that is just taking too long to be rolled out. And this was the previous local councillors back then, who cited primarily that there was a big concern. This was a policy document that the previous Ministry of Mines and Energy, it's a previous name, just so that you know, because the new ministry's name is obviously Industries, Mines and Energy, that the previous Ministry of Mines and Energy back in 2018 had launched this policy document that says, or that cites, rural electrification, the rural electrification project or policy. You've got regions like Kavango West, who has the desire of identifying new settlements to be converted into new villages and the likes. And obviously because the strain on service provision would be heavy on the only urban setting or urban settlement in a region like that to dispense all service provision through it to the rest of the region. The same tool would also go for a region like Kunene. Now, obviously, when you see a reality like that on the ground, and you ask yourself, okay, so what's the reality with regards to the electricity production? The reality would be, don't worry about the electricity production scenario. However, worry about the ability of when and where potentially, if you don't have electricity where you are, how would it get there? Who would be the proponents to bring it to you? How would you, and in what time frame would you see it materialize? You ask these questions because then potentially you, if it's within a reasonable amount, you could go like, oh, okay, I can live with that. Or you know what? 2018 was all the way over there. Almost 10 years that way. Look where we are, 2026. Before I continue, guys, let's take the next caller. Okay, I saw the phone line flashing. But yeah. Okay, I saw the, okay, it's not flashing anymore. You sit with these particular indications of asking yourself, you know what? The rural electrification scenario is taking a bit long. With my trip to China, I literally saw what concerted effort produces to rural communities. I was impressed. I was impressed. There were parts of China, guys, that the buildings were, you know, more than 30 years old. Yeah, sure. In the one village specifically where the Chinese president himself visited, the one that, that had buildings that were unfit for human occupation. And the important thing was that the provincial authority or the local authority that is closer to assist that small village stepped in and literally built all the infrastructure, fixed up all the properties, helped with all the economic planning for that small village. And now it's a thriving village specifically that sees major, that is a major tourist attraction hub in that specific vicinity close to the mountain, the Jinganshan mountain range. And it's just rolling. You can literally see the benefits being accrued by all members of the community involved. You come to a Namibian context. Look, guys, we can highlight for so long about NDP6 and the message that NDP6 wishes to espouse. But we have to ask the pivotal particular question of how are things going to happen? And when are things going to happen? Reason being is unfortunately in the power production sector, a highly skilled, highly technical, very expensive sector potentially to participate in. Look, if you are putting on solar panels for your house, that's obviously a very micro example. But if it's a scenario where you are probably looking at a new avenue to become a business player or some sort of a business player in, you know, you'll need a little bit more help specifically, and you'll need a little bit more money in that regard, because the SADC power pool looks very lucrative indeed. In many cases, you are dealing with other countries and those countries have their power utilities and they've got a lot of money behind them. So this technically means as a independent power producer, you are up against it. Cause there's competition there. I'll say it now so that you know what it is. There's competition there. If you do a SWOT analysis about that scenario right now, the only support you're getting potentially would be from NamPower in terms of the aggregation function. And the support, obviously, in terms of where the electricity or the power supply would be channeled through would be through the Nathanil Maholili power station, which is obviously the other particular proponent in this discussion. And when the electricity goes out there, you know, it's being exported. You are looking at a potential scenario of how are you going to, you know, how's this money going to be made by you? But before we continue, let's take another caller's contribution. Eagle FM, good afternoon.
Sorry. So, you know, you mentioned something of corrective working together and putting all these other things together to help the community with the electricity.
Mm.
Yeah, but there was an issue, was an obstacle. I don't know whether it was the iron out, where people did not want to share the facility, maybe the cost also involved. I know there was an issue of, I don't know whether it was the NTC who and the other company who did not want to go in there to share to coordinate their efforts.
Mm.
So that, I know there was an issue of that nature.
Mm.
And people were talking about, let's share the cost to make sure that the facilities are sufficient in those areas. I hope that is not one of the hindering factors again this time, because you are talking about people working together.
Mm.
Maybe the government should also come in there now to really say, look, guys, but I know there's no way the government can force you. Unless you go to this public-private partnership in many other areas, and if you want to go on your own, provided you combine your efforts and your resources, their energy, I think it can work out.
Yeah, it can.
I think it can work out.
Mm.
So maybe it's just the fear of the unknown that is preventing us. That significant fear of unknown.
I won't call it the unknown, Ankabona, because what I discovered usually, like in business planning, is a scenario of obviously there are meetings, board meetings, engagements, agreements being shared and being highlighted and planning. But when we obviously look at the broader economy in this case, Ankabona, and this is one of the sad things, is we do have a lot of how can I put this? We have got a very small private sector. And there's a large presence in terms of service provision and various other particular services that are sometimes also directly on or in the market itself being provided by the government or proxies of the government. So you can call this SOEs, or you can call this local authorities, or you can call this, various other particular scenarios. The downside of this is, Ankabona, if you are living, for example, in a town, let's call Rehoboth, who is habitually in the news for being a bad payer to the ECB and NamPower for electricity, but you have a house in the town. You're an individual that has a house in the town, and you pay your electricity every month. Mm. And now you are a private individual with a private property, and you have an engagement with a public entity, the local authority. Now that makes it already a triple P engagement, because money is being transferred from you to them so that your lights stay on, because you are paying for your lights.
Exactly.
But it becomes your problem, Ankabona, if the town is disconnected by NamPower.
Yeah.
It becomes your problem.
It's true, exactly. You know what? You know, while we were there, there was an issue of, I think it was a kind of a survey done, and that is in town, and in Windhoek. I don't know, maybe it also can be replicated to other town, where they are saying that the solar power house are very few, and people are not coming for that solar power installation. And that tells you already that it's something that we actually know. And perhaps if now they come in, and then they can also help us now to do that.
Mm.
So as individually, of course, we can do it on our own.
Mm.
But I was just talking about at the Raja scale, where please, even those guys, they can come in really, and then also help us in that area. It's still good.
I mean, Ankabona, here's the biggest thing, and this is the realization that I sat with when I prepared for the show for today.
Yeah.
Electricity is, yes, a strategic product that the government takes into consideration. However, it should not be a product used at the, as a negative or at the expense of the everyday person. Angabona, even if you lived in the most affluent neighborhood here in Windhoek, you should still have the right to sell, to tell City of Windhoek, listen, City of Windhoek, I don't like your electricity prices. I'm going to install, I'm going to install solar panels on my roof. And then you literally go off grid because everyone knows this is Namibia. Namibia has sunlight all year round. There should be, and it should be a legal right that you can pursue. It shouldn't be a scenario to say, no, you cannot. No, you may not. You don't have that. You don't have that right. You never own that right. Then you've got to ask yourself then the question then in terms of, you know, what rights do you actually have regarding how you spend your money and how you have ownership over private property?
You're right. So I think, thank you very much, Dwight. As we go on, we keep on incorporating some of these elements so that consciousness can be created and it's of that nature. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Not a problem, Angabona. So, dear listeners, looking at the last 5 minutes, yes, the discussion obviously speaks volumes if you are a business person in the realm of energy production, specifically as an independent power potential. Whether you are or you're not, but it's an avenue that you can pursue in the Namibian landscape, meaning there is going to be a clear-cut benefit with that end-of-year discussion that happened. I'm not going to play the Gordon Gadney audio right now, primarily because it would be a bit long. However, the message is technically there. If you're in the realm of power production, this is an avenue that you can pursue in the Namibian context, meaning it's a benefit. It's a bonus. It's an industry that for those who have the know-how, the means to the financing, the means to the expertise, the means to, you know, approach the national power utility about, you know what, can we also be part of that discussion? The opportunity is there. For those of us that are just the ordinary Namibians in terms of not having certain, you know, obviously pursued a career in electrical engineering and all those other scenarios, you know, it's obviously our loss. There is various other opportunities to look forward to in the broader Namibian economy. I'll say it again. To look forward to in the broader Namibian economy. One such scenario, obviously, has been, there's still an opportunity in things like education, things like in rural development, things like in other services, commercial services, and you know, and activities to participate in. You should view this 2026 or the start of 2026, for some reason, guys, I don't know where the positivity is flowing in from on my side. I do hope that you also share in the same positivity. If you are part of the school children that had to begin, that had to start school today, I'm really sorry that you started school on a Monday. But you know what? We all were there where you were. If you're part of the other contingent of young Namibians who were looking forward to your marks, because I heard some of you, your marks were available last week already. And there's obviously going to be a big hoo-ha by the Minister of Education tomorrow in terms of the discussion around, you know, the educational performance, the educational sector performance. Good luck for you guys, because I'm clearly obviously done with school. But here's the biggest message to know in the real world, regarding the real world that you step in. And even for those young listeners or, you know, young Namibians who would be nervous about your advanced subsidiary levels performance and so forth, and ordinary level performance as well. The biggest thing that you need to know is that there is always recourse. There's always an opportunity to improve. Let me say it again. There's always an opportunity to improve. So, even when you look at this particular discussion we just now would have commenced or we're about to complete right now regarding the developments, obviously, by the ECB and NamPower, you know, for NamPower to play the role as an aggregator That's the fancy word that they love to use, but technically it's a way, to collect and sell as one package electricity into the SADC power pool by independent power producers. This particular subject is something that there's clear and abundant opportunity for everyone to participate in. Okay, not everyone. But it is so open. You can, even if you're a farmer with a farm, you can participate in this engagement. You can participate in the sector. Okay, the other limiting factors that I highlighted, obviously, yes, that's if you've got the opportunity of stepping into this particular sector. But you know what? It's there. And the perspective out there is you don't need to wait on a local authority. If you can improve the livelihoods of fellow community members and others, you can do that. Do it. Go for it. Do it. You don't need to wait on a mayor, on a councillor, on a technician, on a who. Do it. If you can, do it. If you've got a decent enough background in electrical engineering or being an electrician, do it. We actually need more electricians. So actually, for those of you who are nervous about your marks from your OS and your AS levels, I do hope that some of you go and join the vocational colleges, because we actually need a lot more of those kinds of people. We need more of those skilled people. Do it. Don't be like Nike. No, just do it. And on that note, dear listeners, let's see each other again. Same time, same place tomorrow here on your number one talk radio station. This has been The Home Run. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, or late afternoon, in our company, obviously. And stay tuned for the business and economic segment to come on after the break. You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.